Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Marjorie Punnett.
I'm Elizabeth Reese.
This is Best to the Nest, the podcast that's all about creating strong, comfortable, beautiful nests that prepare us to fly. Oh, it's the end of August, the first day of September. Summer is almost over. Not quite.
I know. Not quite.
The mark of the end of the summer for anybody that lives in Minnesota is the end of the Minnesota State Fair.
Do I sound a little worn down and like I might be running out of steam? That's what happens. I love the fair. We broadcast live from the fair every weekday, Marjorie. We do 8 shows. And as you and I were preparing for this podcast, I was telling you that last night, we have one of Jay's really good friends and his wife came and met us at the fair, came and met me after the show. And then we stayed and walked around. It was a very like normal consumption thing. Like Jay and I shared a gizmo, which is the best. I had a couple bites of a hummus bowl. I had 2 ciders, which I don't think is unreasonable. Like
nope,
all of this is
fair.
Normal, totally fine. Then we brought cookies home for the kids. So we had to eat some of those on the way out so that we could put the top on the bucket.
Yes.
You know, that's
for
what you have to do.
For those of you that don't know the Minnesota State Fair and the chocolate chip cookies, you buy a bucket of chocolate chip cookies and they are masterful. It is a geometric problem of how they are able to tower the cookies without them falling. So you really get like almost 2 buckets worth of cookies in one bucket in the way that they tower the cookies. It's fun to watch. But you're right. The justification is you always have to eat down the tower so that you can put a lid on it. Always. That is just what you do.
That's what you do with Sweet Martha's cookies. So I did that. And then I got home. And now today I am so tired. And we've got a show today because as we're recording this, you guys, it's Friday, the Friday before Labor Day. And then we have one more show on Labor Day. And and Marjorie goes, well, how long were you there? I said, well, I took the 1 o'clock shuttle out, did the show. And she's like, well, you were there for 7 hours. And, you know, fair time is an hour at the fair actually feels like 3 hours of time.
It's triple
time.
So
you're right. I essentially was like 21 hours at the fair, which explains why I'm so tired. I've got to get more coffee today. This is like that final push. And it's so much fun because you run into everyone. Like my sister-in-law texted me today. She's coming. Jay's aunt and uncle were there yesterday. Like I'm constantly seeing friends and people I haven't seen. It truly is the great Minnesota get together, but it's also when you do a television show, it's already a big energy suck. It's just, it is what it is. That's what it is. And that's part of the joy of it. I mean, it's so fun. You're so in the moment and you're doing the show, but at the fair, it's even more because there's so many people, there's so much noise, even down to when I'm in the studio, I can't hear the commercials in my earpiece because they don't pipe them in. Like I don't need to hear the commercials when I'm in the studio. When I'm out there, I hear the commercials. And so it's like just constant barrage of all of this activity. I mean, everyone knows it's like sensory overload, even if you're just going for the day to have fun.
But to work the fair, I mean, I feel so much gratitude that in my life I had that experience. So you and I worked the fair together when we did the midday show. And then my husband and I would do the morning show from the fair. So we would get there before the fair opened, which is also kind of a magical experience that you're there, you're walking through, you're seeing everybody set up for the fair. And it's really fun, but it's hard to explain to anybody 2 weeks of the fair and live broadcasting. And we're not complaining. It's just a level of fatigue. And for me, I'm not super social most of the time. And so it's just this like person overload. But who could complain? Because people are just coming up to you and saying the nicest things. So it's like there's no complaining about the fair, but it's just a thing. I have to say, though, and I've just thought of this in this moment, because my son didn't believe me when I was telling him this story, Elizabeth. we have a unique claim of something we originated at the fair.
That, yes.
Which has now gone around the world. People do this around the world.
And they just did it at a big event that I was at 2 weekends ago.
And nobody, my children do not believe that you and I actually think it was your idea, but that you and I did this first at the Minnesota State Fair, which was we would ask people to bring their children to us at the booth, their new babies, because we loved babies, bring your babies to us, and then we would hold them up and play the famous song from The Lion King.
That's what we would do. And we would do this, it was the Simba presentation of your baby. And so it got to be such a thing. And we would do, we would have tons of babies. And it helped that My Talk 107.1 has the lactation station right next to the booth. So we had like, we had unlimited content because we just had mamas going in to feed their babies and change their babies nonstop, which was so great. But I'm not kidding, Marjorie. It's so funny that you bring that up because I just thought of that again because I was at a Twins game two weekends ago. With my husband and another couple, and they do it at every Twins game and they have the camera. And I had never seen anyone do that. Like it was our original idea.
See, here's my theory. Cause I think if you go back, I think at some point I found an article that was crediting the Twins with being the first to do it. And I actually think what happened is somebody from the Twins saw us doing it. And I welcome anybody from the Twins organization to debate this out with us because we can go back and we can pull tape, hopefully.
Hopefully.
I'm just saying like we can. But I just think it's so cool because it was so much fun and it was such a great idea. But I think the Twins were getting credit for doing it first at a baseball game. And doesn't it make perfect sense that somebody from the Twins would have seen us doing it at the Minnesota State Fair?
100%. Or there's somebody from the Twins, like some guy in marketing at the Twins and his wife would listen to our radio show and said something.
Yep.
And they were like, this is a great idea. And then we didn't get credit and it's total crap. This is like my friend Kevin Taggart from college who believes that he's the first person who invented putting ranch dressing on pizza. And he does not believe that he gets credit for this. And he is convinced that he was the first person to ever do this food combination. And, you know, I just give him credit on occasion.
Nothing to like, I don't think there's an equivalency there. I think ours is much more important.
Okay.
Ours is gone around the world.
That's
and
true.
I feel like we just have to keep staking our claim on that or the story's not going to be told properly.
No,
and
it's not.
And to all of the women that used to come by the Minnesota State Fair, it'd be so much fun because they would come up and we would break whatever we were doing. We would stop that topic and we would break for that baby. And it's one of my favorite memories at the Minnesota State Fair. But that's not what we're talking about today.
No, it was wild. Before we move on to what we're talking about today, though, let me just tell you once again, I am getting all of the nesters who are popping over to visit me at the KSTP building at the fair. And they come over to take a picture and then they grab my arm and then they lean in close and they're like, I'm a nester. I'm a nester. And they kind of whisper it. And then they know that I know. And then I know that they know. And it's just a whole thing. So to all of you who have done that at the fair, you make my day. And the requests are out there again, Marjorie, for you to come back to the fair and us to record a podcast out at the fair. So I'm hoping maybe next year we can make that happen. I know the folks at Hubbard Broadcasting are 100% behind it. We just have to make it happen logistically.
I love that. And I think I will commit right now to I will be at the fair next year. I will do that because I miss it. Ian really wanted to come this year.
Yeah.
But our schedules were just crazy. So we were in Chicago last weekend because my son's girlfriend did the Chicago Triathlon. So we were up there to see her and then just the quick turnaround. We're both back in school, so the quick turnaround, but I think we can mark it off our calendars and make it up there next year because it is one of my favorite things that I had the opportunity to do is just to go to that fair because it's special. It really
is
special. It
totally is. I've been getting so many DMs and text messages from friends who know nothing of the Minnesota State Fair. I mean, these are like college friends or post-college friends. And for some reason this year, I'm getting a lot of messages from them who are like, I need to go to this. Like, I need to see this.
Do you know
why? Why?
Instagram.
Yeah, probably.
People are Instagramming it.
And so much. I guess it just increases every year.
Yeah, they're Instagramming it out in those little Instagram bursts of like, And then everybody sort of has that fear of missing out. Like, oh, there's something amazing going on that haven't known about. And there is. But I really believe, I mean, I have no data to prove that, but I mean, I really do believe, because I see it all the time. And I think that's what's raising the awareness. Because just think about that. That's going out around the world.
Well, I know. And I think you're right. And I think what the shift is that Instagram forced us all to do reels, you know, because they wanted Instagram to be a video platform and not just a photo platform. And I do think there's something about, like, when you see a photo, and I resisted this because I think reels are there. I have a love hate with them. Like, I like them, but I also think they're annoying. And so it's a whole thing. You know I'm not alone in that. When you put together a reel and you're showing people the videos and like it's set to music and whatever, it really makes you feel like you want to experience it more. I mean, that's the power. That's the power of video over the power of photographs, even though photographs are so amazing, but video is just so much more interactive. Like you feel like you're there, you're experiencing it with more of your senses. And so there's something I think about it that's making people go, oh, I want to check this out. And the food stuff is just legendary. I mean, there's so much good stuff. It's so fun.
Who knows what's going on on TikTok? I have no idea.
But then at the same time, I have to go back today and I don't even know. On Monday, it's going to be 100 degrees. There's so many mixed emotions. It's a real roller coaster with the fair.
Oh, you know, for the longest time, when we did the morning show out there, for the longest time, we did the Monday show as well. And then I don't remember what happened. Something happened that they started giving the air talent Monday off and we did replays on Monday or something. They did something else on Monday. And just cutting that Monday off was such a relief because you could sort of recover, but it is special. It is big. It is exhausting. It is for people who have to work it. I wish everybody that worked in the booths at the Minnesota State Fair got the kind of reinforcement and sweetness that the media personalities get. Like I always think about all of the people who are like cooking the French fries and cooking.
They
are hoofing it. So
I know
when you're out at the Minnesota State Fair or any state fair, say nice things to them. You know, the media personalities, they don't really need it. It's nice to hear.
I know.
They don't really need it.
I'm not standing over hot oil, you guys. Oil. I mean, I am doing okay.
Just be kind to the people that are working the fair because it is grueling. And a lot of times it's younger kids. For a lot of kids in Minnesota, it was their first job. So just be really nice to the people that are working out at the fair. They are there 15, 16 hours. I may be making that up, but I think it's true.
No, it's true. I mean, they're really there. The people who run these booths are there nonstop. Yeah. And the week before, it's crazy. But let's talk about what's happening in our homes, because that's what we do here on Best to the Nest. And I love this. I love anytime we get to talk about little annoying things.
So this is in the Daily Show column from the New Yorker. And I just thought it was particularly funny. And the headline was, "Your Personality Explained by Your Annoying Household Habits." The writer is Nicole Rose Whitaker. I always like to give credit to the writer. So I'm just going to read the topics and then we're going to respond as they pertain to us. But these are little annoying household habits and what they say about you. The first one is soaking dishes in the sink. And Nicole writes, "Your ability to make life more difficult is unmatchable. If an easy solution is available, and I mean a mind-numbingly obvious one, you decide that maybe the fix can't be so simple and you'd better let things marinate for a few days." Okay, do you have a dish soaker in your house?
Well, we don't have a dish soaker. We have a very different perspective on doing dishes and we argue about it all the time. Jay does not believe in using the dishwasher. And I was like, "You don't believe in using the dishwasher because you don't do any of the children's dishes. You're like, it's so much easier to just do it and just wash it." First of all, I want to tell everyone, and we just had Danny Seo on Twin Cities Live recently, and he's like an eco expert. He has a show and a magazine and he's a joy. I love him. And he broke down the numbers for us that running a dishwasher is significantly better for the environment because of the water usage than actually washing your dishes. And if Jay were to wash every single dish that the children use, he would understand that it is not an efficient way to do it. But he doesn't do that. I put them in the dishwasher. Ugh. We have a lot of dishes problems. Like, it's very, at some point, I think I would like to live in a duplex with Jay, and then I would live on one side and he would live on the other, and we would have a couple of doors that go through, and then like he could host me for dinner a few nights a week, and then I would host him for dinner, and we would have like one room that we'd have coffee in. Am I off base here? I feel like this sounds wonderful. See,
Elizabeth, I had a little taste of that because I had a townhouse in Tempe and Ian was living here, or I was in Minnesota when he was in Phoenix. And the joy of that was I was flying to wherever he was every weekend, and he would always make sure wherever he was, the apartment was clean. He would have a date ready to go. There was, I missed him terribly. I missed the easy day-to-day of life, but I would have to say there were these little things that you sort of fall in love with your husband all over again.
Yeah.
Because you're each taking care of your own stuff.
You're totally right. You're each taking care of your own stuff. Yes. And then when the other person comes, you make an effort to take care of them, because, you know, my parents did that. They did a long distance marriage for 6 years. This was when I was out of college and my sisters were in college. So it was like, it wasn't impacting the parenting situation. But my mom would talk about like how she would go to St. Louis to see my dad, and she would just bring a backpack because she kept things there.
Yep, that's what I did.
And then my dad would have like her favorite yogurts would be stocked. Like the things that he would always make sure that he went to the store and got fresh cream for her coffee, because that's for her tea, because that's what she loves. And then he would have researched a new pizza place that he wanted to take her to. And it was like that dating, which I think was so probably lovely in terms of the timing. And I know for you and Ian too, it was similar in terms of your child raising years.
Yep, they were out of college and in college.
Yeah. And so it was like, you got this sort of fresh start at a time when you'd been done, you know, doing all of like the heavy lifting labor of raising children, like the physical labor of it.
Is something to that, I think, and I'll make this generalization, that it's much harder on men to be separated.
For sure.
In that situation that it is for the women.
So freaking lutely. Jeez. Yes.
Say it. Right. Duh.
I mean, that's fine. And maybe in 100 years, it'll be different when we're more evolved, but absolutely 100%. When I list in my head with a slight bit of resentment, all of the things that I do compared to what Jay does, I mean, there's no question. Yeah. Absolutely no comparison. And if you're married to someone, then it's different. Hallelujah, praise God, good for you. That's not my life.
I don't know, because I only have my boys to judge, that generationally this might be changing.
It's going to change every generation. It has to.
In terms of the mental load and what they take on and how they, like, I look at my son and his girlfriend and how they talk about who's doing what. It's really encouraging. I mean, it's really great. But I will say, in my house, my one big complaint, most of the time I'm loading and unloading the dishes. That's fine. Whatever. My only pet peeve is we cook on cast iron.
Yeah. You can't soak that. You can't soak it.
You
need to treat it with respect? I cook on carbon steel, and soaking is not an option. And you also must take a little bit of coconut oil and massage your pan. Treat it with respect.
No kidding.
So that it loves you back.
There's someone in the house that's not treating it with respect, and it's not me. Man. So we'll just move on from there. But that's
okay. More annoyances. I love these.
Okay. Letting unopened mail pile up. So this is in the New Yorker. Nicole writes, typically, so we're talking about annoying habits and what they reflect about you. So letting unopened mail pile up. Typically, you are one of those people who doesn't check voice messages because they make you anxious. Elizabeth's raising her hand. You have an extreme fear of the unknown and are marginally equipped to navigate adult life.
100%. I totally agree with you. And here's the problem in the Reimers household. In the Reimers household, both Jay and I are exactly the same with this. We have a basket in our front hall, and it piles up until you cannot put the mail in it anymore. And then we have to manage it, and we have to go through and basically recycle everything, because they just like give me stuff to recycle. I despise voicemail so much. At work, I said on my voicemail, hey, You've reached Elizabeth Reese from Twin Cities Live. The best way to reach me is email ereese@ksdp.com. Do not leave me a voicemail. This is what I say because I don't check it. I probably have 150 unlistened to voicemails at work right
now. You'll love this, Elizabeth. When I worked at MyTalk 107.1,
I know.
I didn't really even know I had a phone number there. I worked there for 12 years. I never checked the voicemail.
I know.
In 12 years. See, and that's the point of it is look at that. And I'm here and everything's fine. So don't check your voicemail if you don't want to. It'll all be fine. I hate voicemail. I hate it too. Unopened mail, I'm the only one that deals with all the bills and everything. So everything goes in a basket and I have to deal with it. I deal with it once a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of my bills are online now anyway.
Mine too. I have like one that I watch out for. It's my Target card. It's so annoying.
I do hate that day that I have to do it because for me, the pile of mail always represents adult life. It does. It just represents all my responsibilities, everything I have to do. It's never good news. It's so rare that I get something nice in the mail. I mean, It's just never anything good. And so I deal with that once a month, but I do let it pile up. But
I'm going to start sending cards to people. People need to get nice mail. That would be nice, don't you think?
Actually, that's a really beautiful thought because really there's really nothing great that comes in the mail. Okay, leaving kitchen cabinets open. What your annoying habits say about you. Leaving kitchen cabinets open. You're made up of equal parts courage and fear. You're brave enough to start any old task that pops into your overactive mind, but too afraid to finish one godforsaken project. I do like this. You know, nobody in my house leaves the cabinets open.
Yeah, we don't either.
Yeah, which is good because that would drive me crazy.
It would drive you crazy. I know, you know, Glennon Doyle, mm-hmm. She is an author and she's a podcaster. She was on Twin Cities Live several times and she's married to Abby Wambach. And they always talk about how Glennon leaves the cabinets open. She leaves them open all the time and Abby like doesn't understand it. And they go through this whole thing. It's very funny. They're very funny about it.
Okay, this one, this is good. Leaving one bite or sip. Greedy glutton? No. Self-absorbed free spirit? No doubt. You leave a spoonful of banana pudding in the bowl and a swig of orange juice in the bottle because you're too busy with your own life to think about anyone else's. Your fun is hell to be around because you live for the moment, but when faced with the unfortunate consequences of your actions, you claim it's not my problem. When in fact, my friend, it is everybody's problem. So I will have to confess, this is sort of a joke in our house because I love seltzer water. And growing up, I only like it when it's fizzy. So I would drink like the first three, it has to be really fizzy and really cold. So I would drink the first three sips and then it was no longer interesting to me. And then I would walk away. So the boys, my son's major job was just drinking those behind me. So nothing would go to waste. So nothing was wasted. So all they know of what we used to call fizzy water is half flat and warm water that they're cleaning up after their mom. So,
oh my gosh, yeah. That's very funny. So Jay's best friend had a roommate for a long time and he would, it's these epic stories. So Tim would bring home leftovers. You know, this is like before kids and he was living in Lower Town, St. Paul, and he had a roommate in like a cool apartment or whatever. And we were like, this was when we were 29 or 30. And this roommate was notorious. Tim would go to a restaurant and get like a delicious sandwich. Okay. So say he goes, he gets like a Reuben, right? He eats half the Reuben and then he brings home the other half and he wraps it up in, and it's wrapped up and it's in the container. Okay. So Tim would put it in and he'd be like, this is so great. I'm so excited that I get to have the other half of this Reuben. And then the next day he would pull out the container. And the container would be in the fridge and he'd be so hungry. And he's like, oh, this Reuben was so good. I'm so excited to have it. He'd open the container and there would be one bite of the Reuben left in the container. Oh. And this roommate did it all the time. And Tim would like send us pictures of the one bite left. And he would just be like, WTF, man. WTF, like what is happening
here? Tell me that this is just a long running joke and that roommate wasn't that rude.
The roommate was that rude. There were some other complicated things about the roommate that maybe I won't out here, but I think he was young and he was very like but super fun to be around, like a total joy and a fun party.
Okay, I will say, My only sin was seltzer water. I never did anything like that. Which would always amaze me, you know, that now that you say that, I know that you've gone through this because I have in my workplace where like the person, the administrative assistant that has to sort of run the office would have to send out an email to say, stop eating other people's food.
All the time. There are people like that, that are living among us and they look normal from the outside, but they clearly are not on the inside. Because if you have it in you to just go into a community lunch operation and just take something that someone else has packed and eat it, it's wild to me. Like it is, there is some sort of sociopath situation that is like, it must be studied. Your brain needs to be donated to science when you die.
Every time that email would come out, and it has come out in every place I've ever worked. Yes. So this is across the country, this is an issue. But I agree with you. I think it's sociopathic. Like what is running through somebody's head when they open up that refrigerator and there's a lunch bag with somebody else's name on it, you're like, that's mine.
That's mine. Well, they should probably check their tax returns too, because those folks are definitely evading paying their taxes. 100%.
So thank you to The New Yorker. That was from Nicole Rose Whitaker. I will hook the little column up in the show notes, but it's very funny. But we have some of our own things that annoy us in our house that we need to get to. Okay, you first.
All right.
What are your little house annoyances?
Well, I think the things that annoy Jay are that I really am not good at wiping down the counters, because I'm always thinking like, why should I do this? Cause I'm going to come right back and do something else. So I'm always feeding my sourdough starter, right? So Jay is always like leaning into the counter and then he gets flour on his shirt and he's like, why is there flour? You know? And I'm like, you could wipe the counters down too. And maybe don't lay your body on the counter when you're like using your phone. I don't get you. But I'm just always like thinking I have to come back to this. I have like 85 other tasks. So I'm going to come back to this. And then Jay said to me the other day, this is another one. He goes, it's so fascinating to me. This is always good when it starts that way.
Right.
So fascinating to me how there can be 10 items sitting out on the counter or the table, and the only ones that you will put away in a place where they can't be found are mine. Because it bugs me so much when he leaves like his stuff out on the island. So then I just put it away in a drawer, or like his drawer, and it makes him crazy.
And if they start out, how does he start it out? It's so fascinating
to me.
Replace in your head, annoying, because that's what he's saying. He's saying it's so annoying to me, but it's what he's saying. Nice.
Yeah. And then with Jay, I mean, I could list many things. I'll just go with a couple. I love him, but oh God. He leaves his shoes in the middle of the floor all the time. Like he takes them off in the middle of the entryway and just leaves them there. And so and there's like a rug, and we have a colonial house. So like you're always walking through that entry to get from the living room to the kitchen. Right. And then I'm just like, son of a bee. And then I'm kicking these shoes. It's so irritating. And then if he ever has a late night snack, which like sometimes he'll go to a Wild game, he's always like at a Wild game with clients or at a something or whatever. And then he's coming home and he's notorious for like getting out a plate to have one last snack before bed.
Right.
And then he leaves the plate out and I take pictures of it and text it to him in the morning. And I'm like, unacceptable. Why should I have to clean this up that you like heated up this piece of leftover pizza and you left the plate? Yeah. I cleaned up so that because I'm the one who's up starting breakfast and I shouldn't have to clean up your crap before I start breakfast for the kids.
I am definitely worn down after however many years I've been married. I'm approaching 40.
You're nicer than me, probably.
I don't know about that, but, I mean, this is one of my annoyances is I really do like a really clean kitchen before I go to bed, because if I'm going to wake up in the morning, I'd love to have a cup of coffee and not have like, oh, now I got to clean the kitchen. So I'll do it every night and I do it and I'm fine with that. And this just happened 2 nights ago. I cleaned it early, which was a mistake. And then like 2 hours later, it's not just a dish. It's like, felt like cooking something, felt like making something, felt like, and it's just all a mess again.
A mess.
And it's like, and it's not.
So what do? You don't take a picture of it and text it to him? Like, what do you say?
No. I just cleaned it up.
No. Mm-hmm. You did?
Always. Because it's not worth it. It's not worth it.
Started a fight, probably.
it's not worth it. It's not, everybody's tired. It's the end of the night. It's not, you know, it's 5 minutes, you know, it's 5 minutes. It's not like it takes me 20 minutes. It's 5 minutes, but it is a major annoyance. Cause I'm like, what, for me, it's like, don't you see what you were lucky enough to walk into?
Yeah.
That's the problem. That's why it's an annoyance. It's like, if I want, I mean, what a glorious thing to walk into a clean kitchen that you haven't had to make clean.
It happens for me once every 2 weeks when my housekeeper comes, and it's the greatest day of, it's the greatest
day. So imagine that every night, as you can, because you're taking pictures of one plate. But that's just an annoyance. And then the other annoyance I would have to say of my, that my husband does that annoys me is he, it's so cliche, but just leaves laundry, like, will take off his clothes and they're just like right where they fell. Yeah. And I don't understand that. It just doesn't make sense to me. And that too, I don't say anything, because it's like in the
you
big picture.
You don't say anything.
No, because this is after 20 years of saying something. Yeah. And if it doesn't change after 20 years, it's like, ugh, I just put it in the 10% bucket. It's in the 10% bucket, because it's like, whatever.
I know. I'm trying to make the 10% bucket more like a 2%, because I don't have the energy for all of the 10%.
It will not work as a 2% bucket.
Yeah, it will not. That just leaving this,
It. So he has a little walk-in closet that's just his. So literally I just take my foot and I kick it in there. I just kick it in. It's like, I don't fold it. I just kick it in.
No, it's like how I kick the shoes. A little bit of a kick does help with the rageometer. It's not like you're hurting anybody. You're not hurting a thing.
No.
And you're not kicking it into something so that you're scratching something. But it's just the motion with the foot of like, I'm kicking this out of my moment here. Like, this is ruining my moment. And I'm going to kick it right out of my moment.
Kick it out of my moment. And then, as I learned from my therapist, I am preserving my own peace. My ultimate goal in my life, at this point in my life, really from the time I was 50 on, it's all about preservation of peace. What is the quickest way from A to B that's peaceful? And for me, kicking something that's on the floor into the closet is like the quickest way. It's, you said it beautifully. It's just, it's get out of my moment. That's easy. So it's easy. Now from the other side, I am no princess to live with. I know that. I know what is so annoying to Ian are unfinished projects.
Oh yeah.
Like I will take this on. I mean, during COVID, I decided that I was going to cope with COVID by dismantling it was a flagstone walkway that was quite large.
I remember this. You sent me pictures of this.
And he said to me, do not start that unless you're going to finish that, because you cannot. And so my neighbor used to laugh at me because he'd see me out there like with wheelbarrows of sand, because I was deconstructing it. So it'd be sand, gravel, everything. And I finished that one. But what's funny, I noticed this morning, I took some of that stone to line all of our garden beds, and there are two stones that I have not yet put in. It is unfinished. And I think that's just my own little rebellion. Like, there are two stones.
It might be, but it's also, I mean, that does tend to be a perfectionism tendency, the inability to finish things. My mom always talks about this because my dad does this, and my dad is a perfectionist, which is, you know, perfectionism is really at the root. It's like you don't want to feel shame. Right. So it's a whole shame thing. You know,
I'll have to research that a little bit.
It's interesting.
But it's funny because I saw it this morning and I looked at it and it's like, he hasn't said a word about that. And there is a bag of sand sitting in that corner waiting for me to level those stones and put them in. And it's been there for a year and he has not said a thing.
Interesting.
And I know it bugs him. So I am going to finish that.
He should just take a picture of it and text it to you.
And then I think for the other thing that really bugs him, and I've gotten this under control, is my necessity for the accumulation of pretty things.
Yeah.
We used to have a garage full of pretty pieces of furniture, which would no longer fit in the house. So I have gotten that under control, but he was pretty patient with that. But that was a few fights, and probably rightfully so.
Yeah, that was. We've talked about that on the podcast with us too, that it was my, so I just come from a home where my mom was a designer. So there were always more things. Like, she just loved pretty things, and she loved accessories, and she still does. And she says now, like, she comes to my house and she's like, oh, it's so minimalist in here. And I do that purely because of Jay.
Right.
Which has turned out, you know, this is the thing, like, for all the times that it's sort of when your partner is annoyed with something about you, they are occasionally opportunities to look and go, oh, maybe I could live a little bit better. Right. And it was a big thing for me. I mean, when I started to realize how much clutter and just a few more things, how much that impacted Jay, I started to go, okay, I could change this. And then I found that I really like it better. Like, he would get irritated, and I get this because I would have an end table. And my nature, because of how I grew up, sorry, mom, but is to have the end table filled with beautiful things.
Right.
So like the end table will have a lamp, and then it will also have two picture frames, and then it will have like some beautiful little box, and then it will have like a little plant or something. And then Jay would say to me, where can I place a glass with a beverage in it on this table? And I would say to him, I don't know. Just hold the glass. Like, I don't know. And then I started to realize, like, maybe having all like a couple extra things is not allowing us to move through this home with ease.
Yeah.
And so that was really like the beginning. And then when he did crack and say, like, it makes me come in here and feel stressed, like I'm stressed every time when I see all this stuff. And then I started to realize, okay, like this isn't just him trying to be annoying or controlling or irritating. And I started working on it, and I've really loved it. Like, I am always looking for opportunities to get rid of things and like place them with homes where they need to be used. And I've really gotten rid of a lot of the attachment to stuff, which feels so good. Like, I know people who cannot get rid of their kids' toys because their kids have very much moved on from those tiny toys. Right. And the day that Bernie told me, Mom, I think I'm done with babies. Like, I'm not going to play with baby dolls anymore. And I mean, there was a little pang that I was like, oh man, this is over. And then I thought, guess what? I texted my sister and said, does Cece, my niece, does she want some babies? We have four of them that I would love to, done. I'd love to pass them on. And then I get pictures of Cece playing with the babies. I just don't want it here if it's not being used and appreciated.
Well, it's funny. There was this big gorilla, this big stuffed gorilla that we had in the house, which was my son's when he was two. And I had it out, and Ian is like, just get rid of that. And I'm like, it's just, you know, because it's like, that was like his, like, it's a stuffed animal that he loved, or at least my perception.
Okay. So when did you still have it out? Like, when is Ian saying this to you?
6 months ago.
No. Six months ago.
Oh,
my son's, I thought you were telling me like a 10 year ago story.
No. My son is 31. But it was like the one stuffed animal that I saved. Of all the stuffed animals, it was like one that I saved. But it's big. It was big.
Like, how big?
Torso up.
Oh. You've moved this big gorilla everywhere? Like, hey, don't forget the gorilla. Hey, make sure. You're careful with that gorilla. Pick up the gorilla.
So then Ian was adamant about, like, the gorilla needs to go. So then I started hiding the gorilla, like, behind chairs to bug him. And then he'd be like, are you kidding me? And then finally the last resting place was the guest shower. I put him in the guest shower. And then he didn't see him for, like, 2 months. And then he's like, oh, get rid of it. And so the last time I went up to... I think it was in the spring, I went up to Chicago and I had to put the gorilla. It took a whole suitcase. So I put the gorilla in the suitcase.
You're bringing the gorilla to Chicago.
I did. So I brought the gorilla to Chicago thinking that my son will be like, my gorilla. So I bring the gorilla. I open it up and Garth's like, oh my gosh. Really, Mom? Really? So I'm like, it's yours now. I cannot give it away. You do whatever you're going to do with it. But I can't. I just can't. It's just too hard for me. And so I left the gorilla in Chicago. Within 2 days, Gar had given it to somebody that he worked with, to their daughter, who's three. And now he's getting pictures. It's her favorite stuffed animal. She eats with it because it's the same size as her.
Oh my gosh.
She reads with it. She sits with it. And so his friend is sending him pictures all the time of the little girl with the gorilla. So it found its right path. Took 31 years, but 29 took a long time. But it's hard. That's the
point. This gorilla is just like, thank God I'm not in the freaking shower anymore. I don't need a shower. I'm a stuffed gorilla. Why am I in here? Why is she doing this to me?
It's all very Velveteen Rabbit.
Or Toy Story. That's what it feels like to me. Or like little corduroy in his sad little button. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So he's alive now. The gorilla has found a little girl to love him.
Listen, that's
I love that you thought it was good. Like 20 years ago.
I was convinced this story. That's why I was like, I need a timestamp on this story. If you're going to share this, you need to tell me when this has happened.
Yeah. Very recent. Top of mind. Very top of mind.
Oh my gosh, Marjorie. Right. What a joy. I love hanging out with you. Listen, I'd love to stay, but I got to go to the fair. I don't have time anymore. I'm out of time. I need to go find a pronto pup and a pickle dog and all the things. And then try to recover. I'm going to have one more coffee.
Make it a big one.
We're going to do it. We're going to do it. We're in the home stretch. It's going to be awesome. All right. If you're enjoying this podcast, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and give us a review at Apple Podcasts.
Find us on Facebook and Instagram at Best of the Nest. We are the podcast that brings you home.